Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
Right. Continuing the discussion.
Yes. So let's get right down to brass tacks here, right?
Right. You didn't finish saying what happened with the courthouse because it's going to
So what happened at last night's city council meeting, the 6:30 hearing, we had to do with the disposition of parking spaces at the courthouse. So it was
five and a half hours of public comment.
Public comment went on for an eternity.
It's at 10:49.
Right. So in the end, they pretty much had to say, okay, so what are we going to do about that? So they did what seems to be becoming the new norm of a Cambridge City Council, which
is you recess
that you can reconvene without listening to anybody
else. To the
public
comment, because you've listened to 190 people.
Right. In this particular case, I am of the opinion that there isn't a whole lot more to be said on the courthouse slash parking garage business. It's nice and good historical stuff and whatever, but unless something brand new, great revelation happens in the next week or two, they really ought to just sort of start moving on it and making some decisions. And I don't know what other sort of plan B, plan C, plan E are all available. I shouldn't say plan E in Cambridge.
No,
right?
You should not.
Okay, but I don't know what alternatives there are to the initial plan for the 420 space, whatever. So they recessed the meeting. They did not set a date. They could, I suppose. We'll find out maybe tomorrow.
Well, they couldn't set a date because the dates they had set were not going to be good, so they had to discuss it offline, so to speak.
Yeah, and the truth is that most of the elected officials, they would love to drop this hot potato right away because they're all gaming this, saying, how's this going to go for me politically? Are the people of East Cambridge going to rise up and hate me? Are they going to love me? What are they going to do here? Or, if I live in North Cambridge, does it make no difference whatsoever what I do in an East Cambridge centrally located vote here? So what benefits can I get out of this? Will the revolutionary people love me because I'm doing something for or against what Mike Connolly wants? There's all sorts of political crap going on behind the scenes here.
It's unfortunate that it's come up.
It's terrible. The truth of the matter is this matter should have been resolved 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. So you kick that can down the road.
Didn't the court case take so long, or the legal challenge?
Yeah, the legal challenges took a long time, but then they resolved. But honestly, the city maybe could have at least tried to. I mean, maybe not. But the thing is, they could have at least got some sort of understanding in place in the interim. But I mean, some things did change, like the Galleria Mall, which was part of a Plan B for an alternative way to get the rent. Well, now they're thinking of reshaping what they want to do with the Galleria, Cambridge Side Galleria.
Will that be
Mall. Another
zoning change, or do they
yes,
allow to do what
the
they
Yes,
that's
the cart position.
Now.
It's actually in front of the city council
now to redoing
that. So,
God, there's so many
all the wheels are in motion here, right? But the truth is that in the end, you've got courthouse, First Street for the whole. Not, it's not just the garage. It's all First Street, which needs to be better than it is.
Mm-hmm.
The Galleria, honestly, it's a big brick wall.
They're rebuilding the whole Leachmere thing there, too. So everything's
this ain't the day of warehouse liquor and Leachmere stores, right?
I like the Gallery Mall. Actually, to me, that's one of the nicer
malls. But it would have been nicer if there was actually a frontage on First Street, so it was double-loaded retail.
Well, there kind of is. You walk into that big atrium, and there's the pond.
When you get past the wall, true. But I just think that... I think that they could do better with...
Well, past the wall, you have those expensive condos. What are you talking about?
On the other side of the canal.
Well, on the left side you're going.
But so anyway, the thing is also when they move the Green Line to the other side of the McGrath Highway, which hopefully will be... They should rename it Bridge Street, which is what it used to be called. When they redo that, then where the trolley turnaround is now is going to become a development site.
Yeah.
There's some land swap arrangement, I believe, going on there.
So the thing is that
the city really needs to really think this all through. And the last thing they need to have is a city council throwing monkey wrenches into every possibility just because they're too damn worried about their political futures, Figure it out, boys and girls. Just figure it out, will you?
Be brave.
Yeah. So that's unresolved, right? They may reconvene the hearing as part of the council meeting next Monday. Maybe they'll do it two weeks from now.
No, they're not going to do it. There's so much on the...
There's not a clock ticking as such, but the thing is...
They're
going
to try to do it probably next week at some point.
I hope
they wanted to do it Friday, but Luigi Bar and Glauer were out of town.
Yeah. So anyway, hopefully they'll resolve it. So the other big item that everybody, which was not sort of going to be resolved, but there was going to be a procedural vote, was on this so-called affordable housing overlay procedure. Okay. So that's went through months and months. It was like four different recessed hearings. Yeah. You know,
hours and hours
punching through this. And
I watched a lot of
it. I actually tuned in for some of them or watched them after the fact.
Yeah.
I have to say, I mean, you know, if ever my respect for city councilors was starting to wane, it just got dropped through the floor listening to this.
All of them?
Every single time there was a suggestion of something which I would consider to be sort of a reasonable thing based on real concerns of people, potential neighbors of projects.
Yeah.
Some individual city councilors, let me not name him, but the thing is that they basically said, oh, anything that might in any way slow down anything, we must destroy. And they just rammed through, you know, every provision in that was basically there so that, you know, and again, the people from Justice Start and Homeowners Rehabs, they may have been born in the promised land and, you know, sent from Jesus, right? But the thing is that people will often have legitimate concerns. And then I watch my city council one by one thrash with 5-4 votes anything that might possibly allow citizenry to actually question something. And I said, you don't represent me, you people.
Well, okay. I mean,
and that was their finished product.
All right, but I don't agree with all of what you have said because I think that there has to be some kind of zoning change. I don't know if this isn't perfect, but I also think that too many projects have gotten not done because of one neighbor or one, you know, and I think you've got to somewhere have a compromise there.
And I will point to, one quick was the project up in Porter Square, the Oak Tree Development Project, that got delayed and delayed and delayed.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. But the thing is the one that John Hope is doing up there next to the church in there, that got, you know, there was feedback.
That had a lot of problems.
Right. So what happened was because there was an appeals process, that it was a way you could bring everybody to the table.
How long did
neighbors,
that take?
Not that long. But the thing is, what happened was they ended up with a better project as a result. Yeah. So, you know, the current proposal that five or maybe six, who knows, of the city council wants, basically wants to say, no, nobody has to come to the table at all. Not even the planning board has a say so.
But they have a say about before to certain design guidelines and this stuff and that to meet certain things.
Guidelines only. And if the developer says, I don't want to do that, they don't have to. So really the only board...
But the bottom line, the city could say, well, then we're not going to pick you.
Well, no.
Can't they?
So that becomes that the Affordable Housing Trust, appointed by the city manager, becomes the sole arbiter of what happens.
But someone brought up, in
we'll
your defense...
We fund it or we don't.
Someone brought up... to argue on your side, that what if some developer comes in that doesn't need the Affordable Housing Trust?
If they don't, then they can just go and they build it.
But they still have to build it in perpetuity. It has to be for affordable housing.
Right, so it has to be.
Are they ever going to make any money?
They would probably then build it, sell it.
What would be the incentive? You can't sell it, I don't think.
You can sell it to somebody like Justice Start. So the thing is, you could have developers going in there, and they might be able to actually make some profit to do that, and then effectively, you know, take this residential property off of the residential roll and put it into the public housing sphere. So that, in fact, people, you know, I mean, I get a kick out of it, but I want to kind of thrash them a bit. You know, these Better Cambridge lunatics, they go up there to the microphone as if, you know, yeah, we want to do this because we believe in affordable housing, because they're pissed off because they're getting told they have to pay $4,200 a month for rent for a three-bedroom
apartment. But they're not going to get into those.
That's
apartments.
The point.
Well, no, wait, but wait, back up, see. That's the whole thing. I've learned a lot about affordability, and it's only supposed to be 30% of your monthly income. But they're going to have levels of affordability or of median, like 80%, 60%. It's not all low income, right?
So there's no more marketplace at all. And
no,
it's
no,
all.
No, I'm just saying, if they built a mixed income where you still have to have a lot of money, maybe it might sell better. So maybe they need to.
Right. So in other words,
they need to work on that.
So if you want to live in there, the only way you'll ever live in there is that you have to apply to the city and be declared whether you're eligible to live in there or not.
Well, so it depends.
I mean, the future is all government housing.
It depends, because some of these places have, I don't know.
You know, I mean, you
there's
know,
a
it's
lot of ways.
Moscow on the Charles.
So what happened to it?
So you know, it needed a supermajority vote to pass. So, so that's six. And now, I didn't know whether it was going to get six or not. Honestly, I didn't know.
I knew that it wasn't.
No, because the thing is that, you know, if you're a Quentin Zondervan, for example, and you might be able to be bought by saying, we're going to make everything net zero. And they say, okay, fine, we'll put a requirement that it's net zero. We'll push it through, potential. And then Zondervan says, oh, net zero, anything that says net zero, I love.
I don't think he was... Yeah, but
No. I mean, so I don't know that they were able to buy him. I mean, to his credit, I think...
I thought Craig Kelly was the pivotal counsel.
Craig sent out a message to said, this proposal is so completely unbaked and unready. Mm-hmm. Dennis Carlone, the other co-chair of the Ordinance Committee, I might add... Mm-hmm. Also sent out a very, very clear message. Yeah. This is totally not ready for prime time.
Yeah, so they were the four votes that they needed one of those votes.
Right. So I'm not going to presume here because mm-hmm. there may be others who had some issues as well. But the thing mm-hmm. is that apparently they didn't have the six votes for ordination. No. So, and if they only had five and it went to a vote, then it would be considered a negative vote.
And that's not good.
And then it would be 2 years before they could reintroduce
it. So if you don't vote on it, it can be refiled. So that's probably the best solution.
Right. Now, pardon my raving cynicism here, but as far as I'm concerned, the fact that they voted 9-0 to table the matter was not just based on the fact that they were trying to, you know, they were concerned about whether they were going to get the vote or not, whatever, though, you know, that's a serious issue. They could have just basically, well, I mean, there are several things they could have done.
I think that's the best. They couldn't have done it. A vote.
They came to an agreement privately outside of the public meeting process.
Well, this is all your speculation.
Yes, but I'm just going to make it as an assertion. There's a 9-0 vote to table it. What is that all about? It basically says we don't want to have this. On we don't want to be put into the position of having taken a stand one way or the other, absolutely and finally prior to the
It was one
election.
In the morning, and I think that they would have. Of course, they're going to go 9-0 if they said. I mean, they wanted to. This was the best solution for a bad thing that happened. You know, so.
I heard they were going to table it a week and a half before the meeting, so I don't know
well,
that
you,
it had
oh,
to
do so with you actually
I don't know that it
that.
I don't know right. that it had to do with
Whatever.
The fact that
so
it was 12:30
So this
means
that it can be refiled.
It will be refiled.
It will be, I guess, discussed in a non-election year,
right,
which is good.
No,
right?
Well, oh. okay. Not. A, oh. I didn't say in a non-election
well,
year,
they have to have
but
come back
post the municipal election.
So
the way they would probably play this game
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, to sort of avoid having their political asses put up on the bar, is basically they'll just wait till it expires on September 30th, and then they can refile it on October 1st, and then the process will play itself out so that it wouldn't come to a vote until after the municipal election anyway.
Yeah.
At that point, some people might have already been thrown out of office, or people may see that new people who are sympathetic to their point of view may now be in there, and they may say, oh boy, I think we're going to have our six votes lined up. And then they'll proceed then.
Wow.
You know, but it's all basically being tied into the municipal election.
Well, even though it's been, you know, it won't, for them, it's still going to be, there's so many forums happening. That's
right.
going to come up. How do you,
right.
when
so
you
this,
think about
so
this?
So this sort of half-baked product that they were going to vote on here is the one that they will then reintroduce as the new filing. So it's not like they're going to be putting in
well,
the
wait,
original.
Can't they tweak it, though, the community development? Change it more? To meet?
Sure. I mean, they could refile
it. Another draft.
They can file a modified version of it now. It has not received a negative recommendation.
Yeah,
so
in some ways, they
here.
Didn't get...
But the thing
is dead.
But, you know, the thing that infuriates me about this is that there was a conversation that was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Some of us who are part of that Envision process talked about, you know, having an honest to God regional conversation about housing and about affordability in general. And
I know,
affordability of housing is not about just public housing.
We can't make that happen. I know that, but that's people have been trying to do that.
I don't think the community development has lifted a single finger in that regard.
So are you all right? But
they've put all their stock in this.
Well, they're dealing with the zoning issues and stuff. They're not, you know, regional. I don't know. So you think that zoning should stay the way it is in every neighborhood in Cambridge?
No.
Okay.
No.
But
what I actually think should have happened.
All neighborhoods.
I think it should be applicable to all comers, not just the Justice Starts. I think that an increase in zoning densities.
Well, then you're going to just have rich places being built.
No, you're going to have places being built.
But they're going to be for people that... No, it's not going to be affordable housing.
It's not going to be public housing. Right.
Stop saying public housing. Because public housing is literally the Cambridge Housing Authority. Then you have the Cambridge Community Development Department, which also has moderate middle. I mean, I think people do not understand all of this.
If you have to apply to a government agency... A mixed income
development is not all public housing.
If there are, oh no, there are mixed income housing developments, right. And always have been. But the thing is that if you achieve your housing basically by applying to the government for it, that's how I would define government housing.
Yeah, but a lot of, like you said, a lot of federal money is gone. So a lot of it is through banks, it's through these affordable housing trusts. There's a lot of other mechanisms now that these developers are looking to, not to the federal government. So I don't know. I think people do not understand the whole...
Well, you know, they actually had a pretty good mechanism some years ago, which is they basically tell developers, listen, we want you to build a big house, like Ridge Towers. You know, they built that basically under understanding that you had to guarantee affordability for X number of years.
20 years, yeah.
And then after that, it's your building. You can do what you want.
Right.
So those then became known as the expiring use buildings. Right, but... I think it was a good idea.
This came up recently when it was a private conversation. Has the city... those are still affordable. So is the city intervening on that?
In fact, there's been state legislative intervention to facilitate doing this. But basically, he said yes. You know, some of those owners of those properties
expired, right?
Some of them have, and the thing is, what has happened is a big focus in the Affordable Housing Trust over the last 10 years or more has been to ensure
that those
expiring use buildings could negotiate a continuation of the affordability requirements.
And they have done that, haven't they, in some instances? Right.
Now, so to me, that's actually a pretty good way to do things because...
Well, it's important. That's a lot of housing.
Right, right. But the thing is that there were some buildings, like out on Huron Avenue, which actually... it expired. But they're market housing now, but the thing is it's housing. The real fundamental problem, and the people of ABC even used to say this before they lost their minds, was that what we really need is for housing production in the region to increase. And in some places, in Watertown, in Boston, whatever, it's been happening pretty impressively.
But it's not necessarily affordable.
Rents in, I've been told many times now, rents out in sort of an alewife area, what they were asking, they can't ask that anymore if they've actually been leveling and coming down.
So it's $2,000 then for a one-bedroom, a lot of people can't afford that.
Right, but there will always be a need for subsidized housing units.
Do you know how
But they should grow in proportion to all housing. Okay, Inclusionary zoning was smart in that way. It said, you want to build 100 units of housing, you got to have 20 of them be subsidized. So this way, if you got 100 more units of housing, it was 20%.
The only thing, I mean, I'm all for the inclusion. I think it's a great idea, except I do think it seems so obvious who's living there at market rate and who isn't. It just, I don't think it's very
well
done. But
isn't that true in the 100% affordable ones? We all know who's living in those.
Well, that's why I like the mixed income ones.
I think all housing should be mixed income.
But no, but I think a development, I will say... Well, I don't want to do that now, but I'm familiar with that. And that doesn't seem to be the model anymore. It seems to be either 100% affordable, although maybe within that 100%, you're going to have some mixed incomes because moderate income could be $65,000.
The 100% affordable euphemism is really just about saying it's city or government-controlled housing. That's really what that's about.
It goes by the federal guidelines, which say it should only be 30% of your monthly income, which is crazy. That has to change because most people are spending a lot more than that on their rent.
Right.
There's kids sharing houses, apartments that are paying $1,200 apiece.
Right. So that's subsidized housing.
That's $3,600.
That has been permanently removed from the market. Yeah.
That's not subsidized. What are you talking about?
Well, it's subsidized by some of these mixed ones. It's subsidized by the incomes coming from.
Well, but at least but it's a mix, and so one is helping to pay for the other, which is like the rob Peter to pay whatever.
Right, right. I
think it's a better model than just plopping down this, you know, in a neighborhood. I don't know. It's
no,
so complicated.
I like the inclusionary model, generally speaking.
Yeah.
And the only problem I have is when they kicked it in about, what was it, 1997, 98, was when they started inclusionary zoning, is they put it in as a nominal 15% requirement, which is actually about what the percentage of subsidized housing in the city has been for decades.
Mm.
And then, but the problem was, is that they gave a density bonus. So effectively it was down more about 11.6. So
right now
the net effect, and you know, we talked about this at Envision Cambridge before it went off the rails. You know, that we were actually, because of it, was only 11.6 and a lot of housing was being produced. You know, and that was a little bit of a mini housing boom. What happened was the percentage dropped a tiny bit. It went from like 15.1 to 14.8. Okay, so changing the inclusionary requirements to kick it up to 20 would equilibrate that, bring it back toward the 15. But that's not what some people want. People don't want to have 15%. They want to have 20%. People,
we have more than any city in the Commonwealth.
No. Boston is higher.
Well,
Boston is higher.
As it should be. It's a lot bigger than we are.
Yeah. But the thing is, what Boston really needs is that whole sections of Boston that just need a tremendous amount more housing.
Yeah, that whole area.
I mean, if you look at it from a satellite, or not from a satellite, from an airplane, I don't know what airplanes, but, you know, if you, all right, from the red line when it goes over, you're heading down to Mattapan or something.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of underdeveloped areas in this city, and they could use a little bit. Cambridge has some underdeveloped areas.
But not a lot.
But not all. Yeah. Cambridge could use a little more density, a little more height, but not just for one, you know, like only you can hit the height, but the other guy can't.
Okay.
It just needs a little more height, you know?
I don't know.
In areas where there's not, what they sometimes call the former industrial areas, where there's no small, low-scale residential housing there to compete with or whatever, just so fine. Put some 8-story apartment buildings in those areas.
But let me tell
That's
you.
That's what happened in Alewife Triangle.
Okay, but just to be very blunt here or honest, having listened to all of these people at all these different hearings, there is two different Cambridges, maybe more. And people, and I'm aware of this, that the idea of public housing or affordability means you are going to be living among people that you normally don't associate with. And I'm being very honest here, okay? And I think that some of the commenters were so way off on their accents and their Britishness or whatever that it was horrible. And then so I'm just saying it ran the gamut, and there was an underlying
What I would ask them
there.
If I could take some of them privately aside, I said, you know, you who insist on getting housing here in Cambridge.
I'm talking about the people who did not want this because of those. I mean, they would tout all other reasons. But
some of the loudest voices of ABC, I said, so would you ever consider living in Fields Corner? Would you ever consider living in
Mattapan? Some of them might.
Really?
Fields Corner?
I don't think so.
Dorchester? I don't know.
No. So they're very much, they want to live in Cambridge. I don't think a lot of those people are particularly interested in living in some of the other places, which is the way, you know, honestly, I remember at Cambridge when I came here, where there were a lot of kind of not so great parts of town, including where I live.
Riverside. I mean,
even
my ex bought his house and people considered it a slum area. Now they're worth millions of dollars.
There are some people said, oh, you're in 02139. Oh, gosh.
I know, right.
You know, I lived in a bunch of broken down junk stores and whatever, you know, were people throwing beer bottles through my windows at night?
This wasn't some of the Tony suburbs.
If you wanted housing that was affordable, you basically made some compromises.
Right, but now those people, people have those houses. I know someone that's made a fortune on Pearl Street selling something they probably bought for who knows what. And that's happening all the time. Just across the street from me, a former school committee person is moved to California.
If you want to just cash out and run, you can.
That's
you'll make
cash
a pile
out and
of
run.
Money.
They're older. They're in their 70s or some people. They want to live with their children.
But there is a presumption I hear in a lot of this rhetoric here, just because the value of your property has gone up, that somehow you've made out like a bandit. Well, that's not true if you're just living in it.
Well, some of those people.
They
just don't want anything to change in their area because they're used to a certain thing.
But the thing is that when you establish zoning guidelines, I always say this is to everybody, it's like zoning is all about managing expectations. So in other words, if you buy into a residential area, purely residential, you do that because you know that somebody's not going to drop a smokestack industry right next door to you because it's a residential area. You can't do that. If it says, I'm going to buy into a modest scale residential area, you do that with an understanding. You invest your money into it based on this presumption, though, that's what it is. You know, it's sort of like a shared belief.
Okay.
You know, like my brother always wanted to, he would insist on buying property next to conservation land, because this way he knew it would always be conservation land.
I understand that. But, you know, I just think it's gone too far with people thinking they're going to have six-story towers in you know, off of Brattle Street somewhere. Come on. It's just not going to happen. Meanwhile, are they complaining about all the little box expensive condos on Pearl Street and Brookline Street and all over Cambridgeport? You've got private developers tearing down houses and building density.
But they're building them. But they're building them in within what the allowable zoning is. So.
Well, yes and no. They're putting four units where they're made two.
But if they if they're not allowed to do that under zoning, then they're breaking the law.
Yeah, whatever.
So presumably they were able to do it.
But people are comfortable because the kind of people that can live in those places look like.
I mean, there are properties that actually have large lots, relatively small houses on large lots, and you can actually kind of pack a lot more in there.
Oh, and the last thing I want to say is that this whole thing that. You know, the parking requirements. Did they think families do not use cars? I mean,
in other words, if you're most people, then if they require parking, but if you're in one of the 100% affordable, then
you shouldn't have parking, right? Come on.
I mean, so much of this is about just different rules for different people.
I know. I'm just saying it's really...
You know, if you think that a tree canopy is a good thing, I think it's generally a pretty good thing.
Yeah.
But that should only apply
even more and more actually.
Right. Yeah, but that only applies for you, but not for you, right?
I just it's been.
I mean, I was on that Envision group and they first presented this idea initially, that's what offended me the most.
Really,
was that you're basically saying different rules for different people.
Yeah.
And I understand that, you know, like with the cannabis thing about social equity applicants and whatever, you got to give a little bit of
But they certainly have modified that. I mean, you can't just willy-nilly take down. I mean, I hope they come up with something better, but I just feel like it's unfortunate.
I would like a different conversation to commence, but I'm not hopeful, especially when I look at some of the candidates. We didn't even talk about all the candidates, but we'll do that
in
another
time. Next week.
But the candidate forums are happening.
Do you have them on your site?
Yes, they're all there. It's a whole calendar of all the events going on.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll see you next week then.
So, all right, see you soon on Cambridge Inside Out.
Bye.